Following podcast is brought to you by ComicMonsters.com, part of the Horror News Network. We warn you, be afraid, be very afraid.
So, welcome everybody to this week's Comic Monsters podcast. We are coming at you with, what are we on, Rob? Number 16?
I think so, or it could be 17.
16
now,
or 17.
Since we did it right.
That's right, because we're coming at you on a Friday night, and we have two special guests with us.
That's right.
So, for Comic Monsters, this is Decapitated Dan.
And I'm Rob, the Big Bad Wolf.
Aaron,
and I'm
that's
Aaron.
You.
The Southern Sensation.
All right, and this is Infinite Speech.
All right, and you guys are joining us because I happen to be talking to you when Rob called.
That's awesome.
That works.
I like
us.
But hey, you know what? These guys are all right because they read some horror books.
Yeah, so let's talk about the horror books we got. I just actually picked up my books tonight. We had a ton of snow here in the Northeast, so I wasn't able to get out to get to the comic store. But I did get a chance to pick up some books, which I did read prior to giving you a call for the podcast. It was the latest Darkness issue, which I believe is issue 89, Infestation number 1. And there are a few more books in my pull list. The Darkness Four Horsemen number 3 came out, and I picked up the new Hulk. I'm just trying to get back into the Hulk. I like the whole fact that he was based off of Frankenstein. So I'm really interested in it and hoping they turn him more into the monster. I also picked up American Vampire 11, Dracula, the Company of Monsters number 6, Spawn 201, and that's my list actually for this
Good
week.
God, we got a lot to talk about for a short segment. What do you guys want to start with? Let's start with the big one. How about we start with Infestation?
Yeah, definitely. I thought the first issue, I know it's going to be kind of messy when you have a sort of a crossover like this with everything ranging from Star Trek to Transformers, G.I. Joe, Ghostbusters. I thought the first issue was definitely pretty cool. We got to see the CVO in there. And for those of you that may have never picked up the book, it's a vampire team that goes out and basically hunts the supernatural. In addition to that, I'm not sure if you guys got this or not. I also got, I believe this was free or I didn't pay for it. It was the Infestation sketchbook, which was pretty awesome as well. Did you guys get that?
I didn't.
No, I didn't.
I wasn't able to get that.
Rub it in our faces.
Oh, I'm sorry. I can tell you guys that it's awesome. Inside, I don't know how many pages in here, maybe 20 pages. They're all pinups of everyone that's involved in this Infestation crossover as zombies or something like that. So it's pretty cool.
I haven't had a chance to read it yet. And Dave, who was unable to join us on our Friday night, he has read it, and he sent me some notes here. He says it was a lot of fun. It had some moments where the dialogue didn't sit right. A guy got his arm ripped off, and no one is fazed by it.
That kind of shit happens every day.
That's right.
Yeah, but that was the guy that's half zombie, though, right?
Right.
Yeah, so you kind of expect that.
Hopefully mine will be here next week, so you guys can just rub it in my face. But I haven't read for the most part, and I didn't read this 100%. Dave enjoyed it, but he found some parts of it to be ridiculous. So I'll throw it to you guys. What did you think?
Well, I pretty much thought it was fun, period. I mean, I've never read CVO. I didn't read Zombies versus Robots, which I guess sets up some of the plot points in this one. But since, like, I basically felt myself as a new reader, I was comfortable. The CVO introduction was just enough. It was great, and I had just fun reading the entire book. And it set up the other four titles that it's going to just spill over to pretty credibly, which is what I was real nervous about when I first heard about the crossover.
Yeah, you know, you're absolutely right. I did like like the CVO refresher in the beginning of Infestation number one, just for the fact that there could be a whole bunch of new readers just, you know, checking this out simply because it was a well-known crossover that's about to happen. So I thought they did a good job of at least, you know, introducing what's going to happen, so you don't have to have a whole lot of research getting past books.
What'd you think, Southern Sensation?
Well, I'm just the opposite. I really didn't like it. I was kind of bored with it because they had all those editor notes, see this and see that, CVO and zombies versus robots. I really didn't know the characters, so I didn't connect with them. I'm more interested in seeing the other four books.
Well, that leads into a good one. Which of the four are you most looking forward to?
Probably Ghostbusters.
Yeah, I'll have to agree with you on that. I'm looking forward to Ghostbusters.
I think mine is a tie between Ghostbusters and Transformers.
I think mine's Transformers, too.
Well, you know what? I mean, that's funny because all of us probably are around the same age range, I would guess. And, you know, growing up with, when I was a kid, Transformers, G.I. Joe, I know they were the thing, and then, you know, as I got a little older, Ghostbusters squeezed in there, you know, and so it was, I mean, all this stuff definitely, like, brings you back to your childhood, so it's cool to see him doing that.
I think Star Trek's the big letdown to me.
Yeah, that's kind of the one I'm confused about. I mean, I've personally never been a Star Trek fan anyway. It's just, I don't know, I guess it's just kind of confusing to me, but what do I know?
All right, well, go ahead.
No, I was saying just in regards to like the Star Trek books, it's like I respect the mythos, but I'm just not a huge fan. Like, hopefully those two books will be fine and strong and won't bring the crossover down.
Mm-hmm.
Well, isn't Infestation 2? No, wait. Never mind. I thought Infestation 2 was supposed to come out next, and then it hit all the other books. But I guess that's...
No, Infestation 2 is the last book. It's supposed to wrap up everything.
Right.
It'll be nice to see Slimer hang out with Spock, if that's a crossover that's gonna happen.
I don't think they're actually crossing over into the worlds. I think it's just like the zombies and the robots are crossing into the other worlds, I
guess.
That
just sounds too much like Marvel Zombies to me, then.
Yeah, well, I think that's pretty much what it is. I don't know.
So, all right, well, moving on. What else do we want to throw some mention to?
I was very happy that Darkness Four Horsemen number 3 finally came out. I was worried there for a while. Thought I may have missed something. But, you know, as I said, I talked about this on prior podcasts. This Four Horsemen series is wicked. I mean, I absolutely love it. And I didn't get a chance to read this new one yet, but I am flipping through the pages right now, and it's not letting me down. So I'm excited to check that out.
How about you guys?
That's a series I actually didn't start in the beginning. I'm just going to go ahead and admit that I'm picking up the trade when it comes out.
Cool. I know that... The latest Darkness, which is kind of a standalone issue, Darkness 89, I was pretty psyched to check it out just because it had the art of Matt Timson, who was the artist on one of my favorite books that got canceled. I'm still not over it, Dan. It was Impaler. That was, I think, one of the best vampire comics, bar none, out there. It's but it was good to see him back and doing something dark like you know, the Darkness. I mean, it definitely fits his style that he has. So you know, I wanted to check that out. Also, you know, Spawn came out, and it's kind of going in a new direction, and it has a new artist on there. And so I'm just kind of interested in seeing where this goes. It's not Al Simmons, isn't Spawn anymore. So I'm just going to check it out and see how it goes. Have any of you guys got the new Spawn issue?
Actually, yeah, I picked it up.
What's your thoughts on it?
Meh. Slow. This one is slow, but it's slow for a reason. I mean, because they're setting up, like you said, the whole new Spawn still in Jim. And we're trying to get as far away from Al as possible, and I understand the need for it because you want to establish a new character on his own. But overall, the issue was still a good one, just real dialogue heavy. And I like the introduction of the new villain, who basically has all of Jim's, I guess, background information, but is kind of like holding it over his head, so he doesn't know anything about himself yet.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be new to the reader and the character at the same time.
Let's throw it over
plus
to...
the art was just sick.
Right. I got, you know, definitely. I mean, I think that art is definitely fitting to Spawn, and
yeah.
It looks less superhero-y, more dark, and I really like it. I mean, it's Simon Kudransky that does the art now. So it looks really good. I think it's
the guy from Asylum Press.
Yeah.
No, I'm gonna check out Spawn.
That's
awesome.
He did some. Didn't he do some of their covers or something?
No, Seisman is doing Undead Evil with Frank.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's why this looks so familiar.
Yeah.
This art style. Yeah, this is the same guy.
He's done some of the interiors too, but let's send it over to Captain American Vampire, Aaron. What do you think of this week's book?
I thought it was great. it was a good wrap up. It was a little two-part story. I don't know if it was just an interlude because they did have a guest artist. I guess Raphael Albuquerque's taking a little breather, getting ready for the big push on number 13. Where they're actually going to have that crossover. Not a crossover, but the miniseries running alongside it. But we get to see Pearl Unleashed, and that's awesome.
Now, let me ask you, because I'm a little behind in my reading. So what would you rather see? Would you rather see Pearl stay on the same path as Skinner, or would you rather see like maybe a Pearl story and a Skinner story, kind of like they did in the first few issues?
I like getting a little bit of both of them, but this two issue series was all about Pearl, because the previous storyline was basically all around Skinner, and Pearl showed up towards the end of it. But,
right. I mean, I like what they're doing with that book. You know, it just seems like they could go so many ways with the book. You know, with the different stories and everything they could bring to the reader, I think it's still a pretty strong book. And one of the things I just love about that book is how, you know, in the fight scenes, like if you open the page, I mean, it's crazy. You see just the American Vampire, Pearl, her face is like so much different than the other vampires. It almost like extends like a werewolf's. So
yeah.
I think it's pretty cool just to see, and there are some pretty awesome like death scenes in the book as well.
Yeah, she just was set loose, and that was pretty nasty. She didn't sparkle. If it was in the daytime, she didn't sparkle. She was nasty.
She didn't sparkle.
But they left it open to go another route with the third character.
Mm-hmm.
You guys haven't read it yet, so I won't build much into it, but there's plenty of potential to take it this way and that way. It's like Skinner Sweet said at the end of the first one, plans, so many plans, and this is going to go on for a long time, hopefully.
I hope you're right. I mean, I hope this book could, you know, stand out. I never really am aware of, like, the sales numbers of comics. I just know that horror comics generally aren't up there, but this is more of kind of like a mainstream horror title, but I really hope it does, you know, keep going, because it's definitely, you know, from what I've read, and I've got all the issues so far, I think they're just on 10 or 11 today that I just picked it up. It seems to be a fun read. It doesn't really disappoint me, so I'm hoping it keeps going.
Anything else we wanted to mention too, or are we ready to throw it to the interview?
I think I'm all set. I think we covered the books. I think we did a good job. It was good to have
you
guys.
Oh,
you
know what, Eldo? Let's throw mention to a book by Ape called Freak Show that came out, because it's and this is, and I hate to say it, it's rare for Ape, but it's going for a second printing. So obviously people picked it up. So kudos to them. I have it on order, and I'm waiting for it to show up.
Wow, I could have swore I ordered that one. I don't have it here. I'll have to take a look.
You go to that local comic shop and you bitch them out. So, all right, Aaron, you can help me with this, because tonight's special interview and winner from the awards this season was Raf Nieves and Dan Doherty. They won for Best One-Shot with Bob Howard, Plumber of the Unknown, and they also won for Best Scene, Bob Plumber, the Howard, the Unknown. And you and your son, Aiden, won third place in the coloring contest.
Yeah,
very cool.
It was a little like that. Yeah, feels.
So, you know, Rob, do you remember the Hellstorm series that Raf wrote for Marvel?
Ooh, wow, that was a while ago.
Back
yeah.
in the 90s, yeah.
Right.
So, wow. but no, that's who I have a chance to sit down and talk to tonight, and I guess we can kick it to the interview unless you guys want to say anything else.
I think we're all set.
I think we're set.
All right. I want to thank the Southern Sensation and Infinite Speech for joining me and Rob here tonight. And for Comic Monsters, this is Decapitated Dan.
And I'm Rob, the Big Bad Wolf.
And we'll talk to you all next time.
Thanks for listening, guys.
So, coming to you from ComicMonsters.com, this is Decapitated Dan, and as part of our award-winning coverage, we are talking to the award winners. And tonight, I have with me Dan Doherty and Rafael Nieves. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Yeah, I'd like to order a large pepperoni pizza.
Oh, shit, I dialed the wrong number. I'm going to have to call it.
Oh, Tony, that's you. Tony. Hi, everyone.
Oh, goodness. For those who don't know, even though they should know because you guys were voted on and chosen by the fans, you guys won for Best Scene for Bob Howard, Plumber of the Unknown, and you also won for Best One-Shot, Bob Howard. Congratulations.
Yay. Thank you.
So let's kind of talk about what does a win like this mean to you gentlemen?
Well, I'm hoping that it's tax deductible. That's something that I can put on my. Yeah, this is gonna be brutal. No, it's for me. Who's in the button? What was that? Raf, are you cock blocking me? What's going on here?
No, I'm not doing anything.
Somebody just hit a button, and all I heard was beeping.
I think you're pushing buttons because I don't have any buttons.
It can't be me. I'm on an iPhone. We don't make mistakes.
You're pushing my buttons, Dan Doherty.
That's right, baby. No, it was great. It was a great honor. It was fantastic to, you know, win not once but twice. I'm going to print up those awards and I'm going to mail them to my mother.
Nice.
Proof that this is all worth it.
Well, there might actually be, and I can't really say that it will happen, but there is talk that you possibly might get it framed. And in the mail.
Serious?
And in the mail. Possibly. Possibly.
Yes. Good day.
One copy, though. Just one copy for both of you to share.
So you'll get it on
damn thing.
You'll get it on even days. I'll get it on odd days.
What about you, Raf? What do you think?
I think that getting it framed is a... Oh, wait, you're talking about the...
about winning.
You know what? I got to be honest with you. I think it is an incredible honor. You know, I saw some of the other nominees, and I thought, there is no way we're going to win this. And the fact that we did is just really, really... it's validation, I think, and an affirmation that... People are well. First of all, that people are reading what we do, which is great, yay! But also that they like what we do and they like our efforts, and you know, and a great deal of that decap goes to you, because you've always been really, really supportive of our books, and I know you pushed hard, and you know, and ComicMonsters.com is it's a great site. It's got a lot of information. I know a lot of people who go to that site regularly, and you know, now I can just go to those people and say, yeah, yeah. So that's really exciting. You know, hey, you know, and we were nominated in what, three categories?
Yes, you came in second for best OGN.
For the Apocalypse Plan, and that was really good. That was really exciting. I mean, sure, we should have won, but I know that you've already spoken with Nick Percival.
Whoa, Kanye, take it easy.
Listen, I didn't interrupt DCAP's interview with Nick Percival. I could have and just said, yo, you know.
Just go on, go on.
But no, it was great. You know, we were up against, in all three categories, we were up against stuff like Hellboy and Meets Beasts of Burden.
I think, right? Is that
somewhere? I think so, yeah.
I'll bring it up if you really want to know.
Yeah, I really want to know. Okay. I mean, I really want the listener to know just how awesome
they should know. They voted for you.
That's right. I'm going to assume that you have a few more listeners than just the people who go to comicmonsters.com, DCAP.
Of course.
Aren't you international?
I am international. Didn't you just say I talked to Nick Percival?
Yeah. I'll confirm it. Of course, that would be, you know, under the assumption that I knew where Nick Percival was from.
Oh, yes. I suppose so. He's from England.
Oh, okay.
All right, I'm bringing it up. Let's see. No,
pull it up.
You're out of luck. You're out of luck. He took everybody down.
Oh, no. That's too bad. Well, you know what? The other... I remember being really, really frightened when I saw the other nominees, whom I can't remember now. And I remember being freakishly excited to see the voting process. And every day, and yes, it's true, folks, every day I would check that site and find out where we were. Oh my gosh, we got 28% of the vote. We got 29% of the vote. That was pretty cool.
You know what it speaks to is well, it speaks to the fact that even people who aren't put out by Marvel and DC and Image, you guys can still take home the bacon.
That's right, baby.
Yeah,
bad.
Bacon.
Bad. Yeah, Daniel, you're always thinking about the food.
Now he wants some bacon. I'm still looking for this stuff. We'll find it sooner or later. But no, I mean, it speaks volumes to the fact that, I mean, even Best Anthology was won by a small press guy who's never even seen the pages of Diamond. It just speaks to the fact that, one, you guys pushed really hard to win, and you won because you deserved to win. And it didn't hurt that we also used the Best Scene Image for the coloring contest this year.
Very true.
It was awesome. And the people who ended up coloring, and even the ones that didn't win, it was awesome. Everyone was, it was crazy. I've never seen anybody color my work before, at least in that regard. And the amount of awesome entries was really cool.
All right. I'm going to find this, damn it. But let's go ahead and let's move on. Let's talk about what's going on with you guys now, and what can we expect in 2011 to be nominated next year?
Well, now the band has to break up,
okay,
because we won the awards, and now just as we're reaching the spotlight and getting the global love, if you will, now we have to break up.
Yeah, I'm going to form the band Wing.
Nice.
And then Rass is going to form the Plastic Ono Band.
That's right.
And we're going to tour, you know, make a few songs about each other, about how much I hate him, how much he hates me, and then, yeah, I mean, it's going to be great.
All right, man. I found it.
Did we interrupt you, DCAP, please?
Yes, you did, goddammit. Would you stop it?
Oh, I forgot we can cuss on this.
Hey, you know what? He put those images up for... I mean, best kill of the year was someone knife-raping someone's mouth. So, you know.
Lord.
Thank you, Cross.
Well, I can't compete with that. Yeah.
Wow. I don't even know if I could rank that.
All right, here we go. You guys, for one shot, you guys got 41% of the vote, and you're up against Death of Dracula, the Hellboy double feature of evil, Darkness, The Darkness, Shadows and Flame, Hellboy Beasts of Burden, Kolchak, Victorian Undead, and Blackest Night Phantom Stranger.
Oh my god, awesome.
I just pooped myself.
Again?
Oh Well, first time didn't take. Just a turtle head. Nothing really came out.
I didn't want anybody listening to think that, you know, you poop yourself out of excitement as opposed to, oh, God.
I'm watching Jennifer's body right now and drinking a glass of wine. So
and for best scene, you guys got 31% of the vote, and you were up against, just title-wise, you were up against Crossed, Darkness Four Horsemen, Neonomicon, The Calling Cthulhu Chronicles, Supernatural Beginnings and End, and Hotwire Deep Cut 2.
Nice.
Dang. To beat Cthulhu, that doesn't happen very often.
It doesn't happen to beat something Alan Moore wrote, I suppose, these days.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
But yeah, all right. Now let's move back. What do we got for 2011? Other than breaking up.
Yeah. Well, then we'll rejoin because Lorne Michaels from SNL will give us $1,000 to do it. And then, I know we have another Bob Howard in the works right now.
You better know we have another Bob Howard in the works right now.
Yeah, I'll let Smart Mouth Raph deal with one. He knows everything. Go ahead, Raph. Tell everyone what we're doing. Tell them what I'm doing right now.
Right now, you are upsetting me. We're only gonna regroup for like a couple of songs, and then like Simon and Garfunkel, we will go our separate ways again.
I get to be Garfunkel.
Who gets to be Garfunkel?
I do. I don't want to be Simon. The hell with that guy.
Simon was easily the most talented.
He had the bow tie.
But Garfunkel was the best loved. You cannot be the follicle heir to Larry Fine and not be loved.
I'm just talking gibberish. give him a 2011 rundown, would you? Come on.
Okay. For 2011, the wondrously talented Dan Doherty, who is near and dear to my heart, and I are going to be producing, at the very least, the second issue of Bob Howard, Plumber of the Unknown. And that will consist of three stories in one beautifully illustrated package. And we're also going to be working on The Apocalypse Plan 2, Kiss of Death.
Okay.
Oh, snap.
That's right, baby.
You know, when you said that, one of my dogs started growling as you said that.
Nice.
He was like, yeah.
Nice. Dogs love The Apocalypse Plan. I don't know why.
They do.
How about individually? Are you guys doing anything by yourselves? Separate from each other?
Raph, you want to go first?
No, because the answer is going to be no.
What?
It's all you, man. I'll come up with something. I'll make something up while you talk.
I'll talk, and then a couple hours later, you can go. No, things I know are coming out in 2011. Rotten is going to have another few issues coming out from between now and probably, I mean, I'd like to say the end of summer, but given the horrible lateness of the last trade, I don't even know. All I can say for sure is that we have issues 8, 9, 10, 11 all coming out this year.
Okay.
I will have volume 3 of Beardo, my comic, this year.
Yay.
And a book called Newton's Law that I've been illustrating and co-writing with my buddy Garrett Anderson will be out this year.
Will that finally be out in book form?
Yeah, baby.
Hey, can I just pimp for a second?
You pimp away, man.
Let me pimp. First of all, sure, Dan Doherty and I are partners. We collaborate very frequently. Blah, blah, blah. We do great stuff. Dan Doherty's work on Rotten and on Beardo and on Newton's Law. The first thing I've got to say is it's all phenomenal. The second thing is he does each project in a different style, which is amazing to me. Newton's Law has this wonderfully lush brushwork going on. Rotten, which Dan not only pencils and inks but also colors, has some beautiful edgy stuff going on. Very nice, clean line work. And Beardo is just stupid. It's stupid. It's stupidly drawn and stupidly written, and it's just it's stupid. And I mean stupid in the best way.
Oh, I'm gonna kill you.
No, dude. I love your work. I love your work, even when I'm not writing it.
Are you saying stupid like how the kids say stupid?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Mad, wicked, stupid.
Yeah.
Like
mad,
lady,
wicked,
whack,
stupid.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Definitely. Well, how did you think
like
I meant it?
Like Belle Biv DeVoe, stupid.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, good. All right, then I'll take it.
Oh yeah.
Shoot,
I wouldn't harsh you, man.
I'm
30
now. I don't know what the kids say.
Oh, you did not do that.
Raph, you're a sweetheart. I don't even know why I got married. I should just keep talking to you.
I can't have a response.
No, but for real. I will say I'm very I think I'm almost the most excited about the idea of us working on Apocalypse Plan 2, because I've been bugging Raph to have a follow-up to that, and then he would call me and come up with the most brilliant ideas. He'd be like, what if they did this? And then I'd shit my pants.
Again?
What if they did that? And then, you know, I already had a load in my pants. I was like, well, that can't get any worse. But I would get another one. And this is going to be a long year is what I'm telling you. I've got like a whole 11 months of shitting my pants to come.
Nice.
That'd be great.
Fantastic. That is just fantastic.
I figured out what I'm going to be doing.
What are you going to be doing, man?
I'm going to be hopefully finally putting out a deluxe version of my adaptation of Edgar Allan Poe's The Bells, which first appeared a few years ago under Caliber Comics' Tome Press line, and it was fairly well received, and then was reprinted a few times in a an anthology called Graphic Classics, and I've decided now to I'm doing some retouching. It's we're kind of, you know, we're souping it up, if you will. And over the years, I've gotten some really wonderful pinups from people, and I'm putting this deluxe package together. It'll be upwards of 80 pages. It'll have not only the Bells reprint, but a number of other adaptations done just for this volume. So that will hopefully be coming out this year. I'm also working with a really gifted illustrator from Spain named Jorge Fornes, who, I feel really bad about this. I first saw Jorge's work when I was tooling around Facebook looking at Guy Davis's work. What did Guy draw today? And everybody should know who Guy is, so I'm not going to explain. And I saw this wonderful pinup. And, you know, when you're on Facebook and you look at the photos, like the photos are only like an inch tall at best. And I saw how kick-ass this piece of art was. And it was Jorge's drawing of Guy's marquee character. So I immediately wrote to him and said, love your work, let's be friends. He wrote back and said, who the hell are you? my wife even got involved, and she contacted him and said, my husband thinks you're great, you guys should work together. And so I think we're going to do something together. It'll be a 32-page ghost story, basically. And I'm very excited. And people who don't know Jorge's work, pick up that first issue of Bob Howard, Plumber of the Unknown, and look at one of the pinups. It's Jorge's work, and
it's
amazing.
Awesome. Yeah, it was incredible.
And the only reason I'm doing it with Jorge is because Dan is just too damn busy.
Okay. So, well, let's talk about Bob Howard's going to be reprinted. Is that right?
We are going to be doing a second edition of Bob Howard. Actually, we're calling this the regular edition. The first one that came out, Dan and I created for Wizard World as an exclusive. And man, we had no idea, did we, Dan? You know, we wanted to do something that was going to be a convention book, and we thought, hey, let's do this. I've had this character for a little while, and let's do this thing. We did it, and the response was amazing. So we printed up 100 official copies of the book, and then like umpteen overprints. You know, it's like once you start that printer, by the time you hit the off button, you're getting like 1,000 more copies that have come out, and the printer wants you to pay for them. But in order to keep it fair, we do have the official signed and numbered 1 through 100 that I think they're sold out. So the remainder copies that we have, which will see the light of day in the next few weeks at various appearances and whatnot, it still has the little Wizard World Comic-Con blurb on it. But once those are completely sold out, we're doing the regular edition, and it'll have, I was so brilliant when I said it on Facebook, all of the G, none of the Wiz. So there won't be any blurb on it. And I know this was a big thing. DCAP, you and I discussed this briefly. It'll have an ISBN number and a barcode, so to make it easier for all those lovely retailers who want to order the book to then resell them to all the multitudinous fans out there. And it might have a surprise or two in there. We're still working on that. But that'll be out in a few weeks.
Okay. And how well did the Bob Howard Christmas special go over?
Dan?
I thought that it turned out fantastic. And the reception we got from everyone was very favorable and everything. It's weird because, like, you throw it out into the internet and you never know who's actually looking at it or who's, you know, who likes it or who doesn't, unless they actually, you know, they comment. But as far as the product itself, I think that might have been our best one.
Yeah.
To be honest with you.
I agree.
It captured a lot of the humor that Raph injects into the thing and just his, I mean, it's all paced by him. I mean, I really didn't, I pretty much just followed the law of Raph on that one. And as far as the overall, like, gelling between me and him, I think it was definitely we really hit our stride with that one. The one with the rat. I was just saying, every one we do, it always seems to be like a little bit better. And that was like, it was really exciting.
Okay.
And one of the great things about collaborating with Dan is that every project that we do together, it's like you'll notice in Bob Howard that we don't really have separate credits per story. It's not like, you know, story by, art by, and it's very much a conscious decision on my part since I do the lettering, because Dan and I both, I had the character of Bob Howard created years before I met Dan, but Dan really brought the character to life. And I've said this before, and I don't want to belabor the point, but Dan is an incredible storyteller. And so the meshing of his art, my script, and our story is what really makes all these projects exciting. Because hopefully I surprise Dan when he gets one of my scripts, and because I know that I'm definitely surprised when I see the artwork that comes back. I think a lot of it has to do with Dan as a cartoonist on Beardo. Everyone knows I love cartoonists. Cartoonists have, they are the greatest storytellers. They get the body language. They get the facial expressions. They're not afraid of making characters look clumsy if a character is supposed to be clumsy. They're able to imbue their drawings with such life and character. And Dan does that certainly in Beardo, but then when he marries that with the more serious and mature style that he uses on Bob, it's like this weird kind of coolness to it. Everyone who's read the Christmas story, I mean, the scene where Bob you know, is ready to pull out Big Daddy and fight the bad guy, and realizes that it's not Big Daddy, but you know, his little Santa Bell. And if you listeners don't know what I'm talking about, then shame on you, because you should have you should have read the thing when it was available for free.
It was free, damn it!
It was free.
Gave it away.
You know, then Dan did this wonderful thing where Bob is running back to his van to find Big Daddy, and the body language was just beautiful, and it made it so much easier for me as I was lettering the thing, just to get, I don't know, it was a good marriage. I love you, Dan Doherty.
I love you, Raph. Meg, my wife, you're done. Raph, let's go to Boca.
You got it, man. I'm not going to tell my wife, though, because she'll hunt me down and kill me.
Yeah. She's a redhead. She's crazy.
Yeah.
And she heard that.
Sorry, did we answer your question, DeCap?
I don't think there was a question.
You know, it's the Christmas special was great. It was really fun to do. When Dan and I made the decision to do it, you know, certainly it was like I couldn't do the thing without Dan. So the decision to do a story, an 8-page story, scripted, penciled, inked, toned with gray wash, lettered, and then put it out there for anyone to look at who wanted to, I thought, okay, we're totally screwed now. We're making no money off of this. But it was important that we were able to find a way to really thank the people who have supported Bob Howard. Mm-hmm. You know? And we just wanted to give people something that they really couldn't get. I mean, you get previews all the time from Marvel and DC and all this business. But we did something that was done expressly for the holiday and expressly for our readers and our fans. And it was great fun. As Dan was saying before, you know, you put this thing out there, you have no idea if people are actually looking at it or not. You hope they are, but I don't know why they just weren't very vocal about it. We had a really small group that was really, really vocal, but the majority of the other people who read it, they didn't say anything.
I think that's common, though. I mean, look at how many people can read an article. Like, you can go on a forum and see that 70 people read it, but 2 people commented on it.
Sure.
Yeah. And that's a weird time to be living in general, and I think that it helps to take some of these things in stride that, like, you know, maybe a lot of people read it and didn't comment or didn't, you know, I don't know. I mean...
Oh, I know, and I know a lot of people have read it, Dan, because I keep getting emails from people now. You know, it's like, hey, just wanted to let you know that Christmas story was really, really fucking cool. Like, hey, thanks. Why didn't you say anything?
Is that like a serial killer that called you? I just want to let you know, after I murder you, I'm going to read that comic again because it was really awesome.
What? Oh, did he?
Oh, man.
Did he talk to you too?
Yes, it was me, actually. I'm going to kill you.
Oh, damn it.
All right, guys. All right, we gotta kind of wrap it up here. But
okay.
What do we got?
Started.
I know you are, but we gotta keep this one short.
Okay, all right.
Okay. I know. Where can people who voted for you see you guys in 2011?
Well,
you feel the point that you got. Yeah, he's really good at this. I'm not.
Well, first off, this is Dan. When or DCAP? When is this going to air?
Oh, boy. I don't know.
Okay. Well, if it airs before...
It will be before DanCon.
Okay. So if people are listening to this before January 28th, then Dan and I were going to be at Horribles in lovely Berwyn. You're hearing this first. For an appearance on January 28th at Horribles in Berwyn. From 7 to 10. Dan will be signing copies of The Rotten Trade. Is that correct, Dan?
That is correct, sir.
And we'll have Bob and The Apocalypse Plan available as well. Following that, on February 20th, we will be at the Orland Park Civic Center as part of the amazing DanCon 2011.
Woo!
which we are, and no bullshit recap, we are really excited about this.
Everybody's telling me they're excited.
Everybody I know personally, who I've talked to about the show, they're like, they're going apeshit. It's very cool. So I hope all of you who are listening, will go to the Facebook page and get all the information and get out there. It's cheap. Tickets are cheap.
$2 to get in with $5 surprise, which we haven't leaked yet.
Okay, and I won't talk about it then. But we're some amazing, amazing creators. It's going to be a great time. So we're going to do that. We're also going to be doing in March, Dan and I will be at C2E2.
Yes.
And what are we doing after that?
We will be at Wizard World, right?
We will be at Wizard World, yes.
We have that for sure.
Uh-huh.
Where do you want to go? How far do we want to go?
Let's just keep going. I am for certain, and Dan possibly will be at Evil Squirrel Comics, north side of Chicago, on, I can't remember the street, Granville? No. Something like that. Look it up. On Free Comic Book Day.
On Free Comic Book Day, I know where I'll be, because I'm there every year. It's a tradition. I will be at the AF Books in Tinley Park.
Oh, my gosh. It's like you can meet me at Evil Squirrel or Dan Doherty at... Don't make them choose.
Yeah. It's like choosing between Harvey Dent or...
We're gonna have a contest.
Maggie Gyllenhaal.
We are still going to have a contest. And Decap, I'm gonna want you to moderate this thing, and as soon as I figure out what the winner is going
to be. But that means I got to go to both.
Yeah, you do.
Wouldn't you? We're also going to be doing KokomoCon this year, and we're going to be doing Detroit Fan Fair.
Yes.
Lots of shows, lots of conventions. I'm very, very excited.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Hopefully people can get out, get a chance to see you guys, and pick up some of your books for sure.
Yes, please.
Yes, please.
I got the mortgage to pay and an artist to keep happy.
I got to buy pants because I keep shitting mine.
And that's how we're going to end this. For comicbooks.com, guys, I want to say congratulations again. I pushed really hard to get the books up there to be nominated, and you guys did your part by spreading the word and getting the votes, so congratulations, and it's very, very well deserved.
Thanks very much, and thanks to everyone who voted for us too.
Yes.
Alright, so I will talk to you guys later.
Alrighty.
So we're coming to you live from Horrible. Well, I'm not live at Horribles, but they're live at Horribles. We've got Dan Doherty, Rafael Nieves, and John Aranzo. What's up, guys?
Hey, DJ. Hey, I'd like to order a pizza.
You did that last time. Complete bullshit. You can't
sorry,
do this
sorry.
Time.
Killers inside the house. How about that? We haven't done that yet. In the room.
Is he behind me?
Yes.
Oh. No. That's...
Bring a pizza.
That's just a Friends poster. Sorry. All right, guys. First of all, this is a first. Is this a first for Horribles? Are we doing a live podcast?
It is. I feel very special.
Oh.
Hopefully, Dan.
Now, imagine if I would have been able to make it up there in person and do it really live in person.
We're going to do that. I promise you. And I promise you I will get back to you this time.
I don't believe you.
Oh. Shaking his head no right now.
My knee.
All right. What are we up there promoting? What are we pimping? What are we signing?
Right now, we are signing primarily the recently released Rotten Trade paperback, which was illustrated by me and written by Mark Ranner and Robert Horton. Published by Moonstone Books.
Where are they? Yeah.
They all, except for Moonstone, reside in Seattle, so the commute was a little difficult.
Well,
I know, excuses.
If you can get Raph there, then why can't you get them there?
Yeah. Quite a hike for Raph. kind of funny, Dan, you talking about commute. You're not here, and you're only in Wilmington, Illinois.
That's right. Hey, I got to stay down here, and I got to take care of the astronaut.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Nice. Very nice.
You talk bad about my astronaut, and I'm just telling you.
Sir, I love your astronaut.
How's the signing going so far, guys?
Very good. We're meeting some great people. I even had some people come in with their individual issues of Rotten that they had probably collected over the past year or so to sign. And, yeah, we're just hanging out. I'm drinking some wine right now. John's got a hat on. Great.
Well, wait. John, you're serving him?
It's a crazy crowd. We might even get into the check.
Yeah. I have Altoids on the table. Signing individual Altoids with a very small pen.
I've been signing copies of the collected Rotten as both Mark Ranner and Robert Horton.
Yeah.
And no one's questioned it.
Is that true?
I'm drinking. I want to say this for Mark's benefit, if he's going to listen to this tonight or whenever. Mark makes fun of me because I drink wine. I drink red wine primarily. And he thinks that's a girl's drink. But I'd like to point out that Mark babysits an ex-girlfriend's cat on a regular basis. Yeah, so red wine, babysitting an ex-girlfriend's cat, you be the judge.
Oh, you just laid it down.
That was hardcore, man. And I'm fired, yeah.
How do you technically, is that how it works? You get rid of the artist first?
Yeah, I'm the first to go.
Oh,
everybody knows that.
I don't know that.
You do now.
Kill the body, we'll die.
Well, let's send this really quick over to John. John, tell us about Horribles.
Oh, Dan, it's the finest monster shop in this price range.
Woo!
We're, upstairs is a retail store. All horror and science fiction movie memorabilia, collectibles, and retail. And downstairs, what I did was I created I call it the Gallery des Terrors. So we have a 16-seat mini viewing theater and also an art gallery where we showcase local artists. And, you know, that's why I'm happy to have Dan here tonight and Rob. That's why I did it, you know, to give artists of these genres a place to come, you know, that's a little left of center and, you know, ultimately cool.
Fantastic. And there was a screening of Psycho tonight, if I'm correct.
There was. Nobody wants to shower after that one.
I can use some milk, though.
Are we talking Hitchcock Psycho or are we talking Vince Vaughn Psycho?
No, we're talking. We're not talking old school.
This is always a business, sir.
Yeah. We did have a first-time viewer of Psycho tonight, and he asked me if the other three films were good, and I said, well, there were only two.
Well, let me ask you, as a shop owner who runs a shop that I have yet to visit, but I hear great things from Raph and great things from Dan, how much of what you do is comic-based?
You know, not much. And actually, you know, it's funny that I would say my crossover into comics is due to Raph, because I've always focused on a lot of the pulp side of it, but as far as comics, everybody goes to their local comic shop and supports their comic shop for, you know, getting their subscription.
Well, I don't want to ask you this, but I'm going to. Are you typically maybe like a Hot Topic where you only carry like, you know, SLG titles?
No, not at all. I mean, you know, it's funny, the a lot of what I carry here, and I don't know if this give merit to me or carries weight, but you know, a lot of it's my discerning palate. What I see that comes in, I think I get what quality is as far as on a big level and on a small level too. And I really like what the guys have done. I mean, Rob's writing, Dan's art is amazing. They're both local boys, and you know, you just to me right now, I'm getting on my soapbox, but you have to support locally. It's very important. You know, you can't get a feel for things just off the internet. It's a very tactile thing, and I always say that. And you know, the crossover that I have into a lot of the comics, it started because of Rop, because, you know, here's a guy that's coming in and telling me, you really need to look at this aspect of your business and have it represented, and I listen. You know, that's why I've been able to kind of make the store tick along, is I'm not that opposed to saying, hey, you know what, I am wrong. I need to look into this.
Sure.
A very connoisseur-like element to this store too. I mean, this is a refined palette here. There's looking at the walls that I'm surrounded by. I've got like a print of Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein next to the vamp, and
yeah,
it's just amazing. You don't see this in your typical store.
It's funny too. Somebody that came in tonight, that came specifically for the signing, ended up walking out with actual Inglourious Basterds props. In particular, the one that they walked out with was the King Kong card that they use in the tavern scene where they're doing the whole exchange of the game, guessing what's on that.
Sure.
So, you know, there's things like that in here. And then there's also the illustrious pair of shorts and T-shirts that were worn in Piranha 3D that you'll see when you watch. So, I mean, yeah.
Oscar nominated, right?
Yeah, I guess I should go back on my 30th.
Oh, that's fantastic, and it's awesome. It's awesome not to know that the fact that, you know, you don't have to typically just wait for a horror convention to come around, and you don't have to lie to yourself and go to Hot Topic. You can go. It is so awesome to know that there is a store that is catering to this. And I know you get props from Sven Gulli on the show and all that. So, I mean, it's just great. And the fact that, and not to, you know, we toot Raph's horn too much, but but, you know, I mean, it's just great to see that and to know that you're not
decaf.
But it's great to know that you're reaching out and you're reaching your hand out to the horror comics community as well, and to have a signing by these guys and to open the store to them and let everything happen. That is just fantastic.
Yeah, and you know, that my original, you know, the way I was exposed to all this, I went to a horror convention and I, you know, I dragged my wife to be, and I walked in and my eyes were just bugged out of my head that I didn't realize that there were other people of the same interest that actually conducted conventions around this. And it, you know, when I left, I was in the restaurant business, and I thought, you know, there needs to be a store that represents this other than just, you know, comic stuff. And that's how it started out on the retail end. And then I wasn't happy with that, and I really wanted to do something that was a little more progressive and changing, like the gallery and the theater down here, to showcase indie stuff. And, you know, that happened. And now that, you know, the next wave is we're opening up a cafe and bar right next door. So, you know, you got to keep whatever you're doing, you always have to keep movement, because people could, you know, people could see that if you're not genuine to what it is, whatever it is, you know, people get it.
Sure.
So, it's a testament to the store. It's going to be 5 years in February that Horribles has been open. And you know what? I've been sidestepping all along and dancing, but you know, the motion is positive and forward.
Sure. So let's move over back over to Dan and Raph. And I mean, what does it mean to you guys to be carried in a specialty shop like this?
It means we're special. No, it's awesome. I mean, we, especially since he has a very specific palette with comics, since his store is so broad. I'm calling. Whatever. Not late for dinner. How about that? You feel chosen a bit. It's nice. Right? You're chosen?
I do feel chosen.
They look kind of funny, though, with that white hand, like the orcs on their head now.
There's a ritual, yeah. We don't talk about it.
I just don't ever want to meet Elijah Wood. Daddy, right? Or Vigo, even. I don't, especially Vigo.
Did anyone ever hit him?
Maybe.
No, did you see Eastern Promises?
Oh, my God, yeah. I saw a lot of Vigo in that.
Never been in
so
a circus
much Vigo, yeah.
Oh, sidetracking, damn it, sidetracking.
Oh yes, it is awesome being at Horribles. It is awesome being in the leagues. You'd have to see the shelves for yourself, really.
What does it mean? What does it mean for a creator, a comic creator, to be showcased in a store like this compared to being showcased at a comic book shop, though? I mean, you know, how does that reach out, and what does that mean to you?
Well, for me, Decaf, you know, I've always thought of, and we've had numerous conversations off air about this. Horribles is my home away from home, man. And to be able to come here and do a signing means that I'm embraced by a connoisseur of horror, and the association is great. John's opened his doors to me and allowed me to come in and meet other people who have very similar tastes. And how is it different from being at a comic shop? I'm not getting passed over by people racing for the next Superman or Fantastic Four. When people come to this store, they come for all things horror. And the fact that John carries my books and mine and Dan's books means that John considers what we do to be legitimate horror. And so I think it gives us a pedigree. You know, you were
sure
talking earlier about
I have to do your nails.
Yeah. Oh, okay. pedigree. and so it means an awful lot to me. And you were talking before about people not having to go to a horror convention to get their goodies. Horribles is a horror convention.
Yeah.
You know, it's all very centered. People can, you can come in and watch a movie. You can buy some art. You can buy some books. You can buy some memorabilia. I've spent more money than I make here at Horrible. And while we're on the subject, I got to put this out here. Write this down. 6729 West Roosevelt Road in beautiful Berwyn, Illinois.
Berwyn!
Phone number is 708-484-7370. Everyone should come here. Tell them Uncle Raffy sent you. And buy some cool shit.
There's more to say than that. There's a website.
There is a website. And it is horribles.com.
Spell horrible. The H-O-R-R-O-R-B-L-E-S.
B-L-E-S.
.com.
Oh, Christ. You guys are funny. John, back to you real quick. How do you sell a horror comic book to typical horror fans?
How do you sell it to them?
Yes, because I've heard this before. I've heard, like, if you go to a horror convention, they're looking for T-shirts, they're looking to meet, you know, the big horror stars. But how do you sell a horror comic book in a horror market?
You know, it's easy. Sometimes you go to the conventions, and it doesn't matter what you go to. Everybody is hawking their wares, and you can see a great piece of cover art on a DVD or a mag and be sold on it, and then you open it up, and it really lacks substance. With what Roth and Dan are doing, you know what, it has substance, and it's an easy sell. I am one of letting people wander around the store and just kind of finding whatever it is that they're interested in. I'm an easy person that way. But when I have something in that I really think is quality and important to the community, I point it out to people. And a lot of times people, you know, they're going to support it by going, all right, you know, you've been around this stuff long enough, you've seen what's out there, and you know, they kind of take your word for it.
Fantastic. I mean, and that it's in itself just lends to the fact that what you're doing is so special.
And it's also, you know, it's also the honesty factor, too. I really wouldn't push anything, and it wouldn't be in the store if I didn't think it wasn't a quality.
True. So back to Dan real quick. Tell us about this Rotten trade that you're talking about.
I will tell you about it.
Okay, wait, I gave up on you. No, I'm kidding. Go ahead.
The Rotten trade had just come out in December, right around Christmas time. And the book is a collection of issues 1 through 6 that we've been... this is not an ongoing series, so to have a collection has been really helpful for us. I go to so many cons where everyone is waiting for the trade, and, you know, we're living in an era where you want to put your comics up on a shelf and have them have a sign. So to have this book out has really... open a lot more of the opportunity for these fans who want to get into the zombie genre to pick up the book and get on board. It's an ongoing series, so that means if people are into it, then they can find more of it. We have a Facebook page. We have a website, rottencomics.com. And yeah, get your zombie fix, because I think I'm pretty sure, correct me if I'm wrong, I think we're the only zombie game in town, right? There's no other zombie thing going on, right? There's no, like, TV shows or... I think we invented the word zombie. I'm not...
That is true. I've heard that.
I have to do some fact-checking. I'll get back to you.
Now, hold on. In terms of that, that's an actual funny point, because other than a book that comes out of Australia, you guys actually have the oldest dated zombie book.
Yes. That does... The thing about the concept of the book that does separate it from the zombie, usual zombie fare, is that it is set in 1877. It's right after the Civil War. There's these mysterious outbreaks of the undead, and there's these two Civil War veterans who are reconscripted back as agents of the president himself to investigate these outbreaks. And so they go from town to town, issue to issue, and they're just, you know, obviously flabbergasted by what they've seen, because, like, as you said, like, zombies really didn't even exist genre-wise, let alone, like, in the world of fiction, I guess. Prior to that, there's no word zombie in this book. They just see these people that have been reanimated, and they're just trying to figure out what is going on and how they can stop it. And what's interesting about it as well is that the conspiracy behind it seems to be related to the people that are employing them.
Now, here's a question to all three of you. Today was released that the WB is going to start a TV show called The Awakening, which is a new zombie show that is going to take off on the wake of The Walking Dead and how popular that was. Thoughts?
Did the little WB frog introduce it?
He came out and he was like, the WB presents...
WB with a zombie twist. I did not know this. Rat, do you have any thoughts on this?
I have a lot of thoughts on this recap. Hang on, let me take a breath and gather my thoughts. Who cares, dude? Truly. I do want to say that Dashing Dan Doherty may be wrong, because I want to announce it now. I'm going to be writing a zombie comic that's set during the Revolutionary War. Then mine will be, in fact, the oldest dated.
No, wait a minute. That Australian book...
Right?
Is Roman times.
Yeah, that's the other one I'm writing.
Oh,
that's about my prehistoric
zombie comic.
I'm sorry.
How about
that?
How
about
something on Larry King?
Yeah.
The original zombie.
Zombies with suspenders.
The announcement of a new zombie series on WB is fine. You know, Walking Dead is a great show. I am waiting with bated breath. Zombies breathe?
No. In their own fashion,
I guess,
okay. But not really.
I'm waiting with horribly bated breath for the Dead World movie, which
yes.
has been announced, and David Hayter's writing it. And with all due respect to Rotten and my partner,
yes.
Dan Doherty, Dead World is one of the greatest zombie comics ever written.
Sure.
And... And I'm very happy to hear that they're making a movie version of it, and beyond that they should make a Rotten movie. That'd be cool too.
I'll take it.
Of
That's how I feel.
Take it. You get the royalties, damn it.
Yes.
So, all right. And to you, John, I mean, something like that, what do you see that doing to the horror genre in particular? Not just the fact that you have one zombie show, and I have to say this, if even though it's on the WB and the fact that it's going to suck, what...
Oh, ow,
wow,
man, hey, how do you...
Come on, guys, it's going to be 90210 with zombies.
90210,
I thought that was... Zing.
That was the best thing I've ever heard. But no, I mean, I'm dead serious. I mean, it's gonna be a zombie show that is just based on... It's gonna be The Walking Dead. It's gonna be, here's our cast of characters. They live in a zombie world, and that's kind of it.
Yeah.
I mean, I can think of 10 sitcoms right now. We live in a zombie world. Ding dong. Hi, honey, I'm home. What the fuck is that?
I just want, honestly, the one thing I want, a Tyler Perry zombie show. House of Zombies, Mika Zombies, anything involving Tyler Perry.
Madea's big ass zombie.
Yes. Zombie all by myself. Whatever.
How I met you. How I killed your dead brother.
We got a store full of people. Come on, titles, let's go. What do you got? Come on, zombies.
This is Mike, one of the greatest fans of Raph Nieves, Horribles, and the great Dan Doherty. What do you have for the title?
Fan of Raph Nieves, Horribles, and the great Dan Doherty.
That's nice. Actually on my driver's license.
Wow.
Not one life to live.
Oh, nice. I like it. Nice. Yes. One life to live.
Oh, my.
Hey. You better start saying copyright for everything.
Me too, now,
isn't it? I know, kind of.
Hey, anyone who starred on Heroes is a zombie now.
That's right. That's true.
Oh, goodness. Guys, you crack me up.
Hey, Cap, you knew this was going to just degenerate, didn't you? You know, it just devolved to madness.
Degenerates just like a zombie's flesh, I suppose.
Oh, hey, Decap?
Yeah?
Not to be outdone by Dashing Dan Doherty and his, you know, collection of zombie books.
Dan Doherty?
No, Dashing. But I'm also here signing...
Oh, you're here, Rap?
Shut up. I'm also here signing copies of The Apocalypse Plan and Bob Howard, Plumber of the Unknown.
Which are both fantastic books.
Thank you so much. And carried by Horribles. So come on in. Come for the comics, stay for the horror.
Hey, real quick, has Big D made his presence known yet?
What? What
did you say? I haven't seen him.
Who?
Big D.
Big D.
Oh.
Big D, agent of DCAP. Is that because it's now time to pimp DanCon 2011?
Uh-oh, do you want to talk DanCon 2011?
February 20th at the Orland Park Civic Center, where Dan and I will be guestesses.
Guestesses.
Is that what you want to talk about? Because I don't want to talk about that.
You don't want to talk about that? That's fine. We don't have to talk about that.
No. The DanCon is going to have, like, 22 creators? And
22 creators? Can you believe that?
Only $2 to get in, amazingly, for all of that talent?
Yeah, do we really want to talk about that?
I don't think that's something we talk about.
No, we don't need to talk about that.
Fight Club.
No. Especially, we also don't need to talk about that exclusive poster.
That poster that we are featured on.
Ooh.
Which I am technically, I got to say, featured on twice because I have the drawing for a rap piece. Yeah, that's right. And he's got a shameful look right now. It's great. It's a great poster. Which then people can, get signed?
They can buy it for $3 and get it signed by everybody at the show.
And then sell it on eBay for $1 million.
Hey, Decap.
Yo.
Was this really a live podcast from Horribles? Or...
There is no such thing as live on the Decapitated Dan Show.
are we just killing DanCon? Is that what we're doing?
That's
here?
What this is about.
What you're doing right now is actually going to air after your Comic Monsters interview this week and after my interview on DanCon.
You're telling me people probably won't be able to make it to this signing based off of your podcast.
I have to say.
Yeah, they're tonight. They get in their car, they drive to Horribles. Horribles is closed for the night. We're long gone. Thanks a lot, Decap.
Hey, you know what? That was not part of the deal.
I'll tell you this, Decap. If someone comes into Horribles looking for Dan and me, John just has to pick up the phone and we'll be here.
Yep.
True.
And I also have the two standees now that it
that's
has,
right.
has Ben Rock with a big thumbs up.
Yeah.
I can actually send my stunt double. The third, and represent. And I believe John will be carrying all of these books that we're
absolutely
talking about tonight. And then I think I just talked him into it right now. No, he already has Taco Penn and Bob Howard front and center, and I believe Rotten will be joining their company.
And hey, yeah. I'll tell you what. Since we're actually on the air, I'm going to call him out right now. We're going to put together a special Comic Creator Day that's going to showcase both of you as well.
Yep.
Well, look at that. Yeah. Look how you just cornered John Aranza.
that's the email I never got back to it on.
No, we're... John and I will work together.
I'm talking now. Shut up.
Okay.
I'm going to let you co-op my home. were you making sounds while I was talking? Is that how it is with us now, G-Cat?
Wrap it up, Raph.
Yes.
I forgot what I was going to say.
By all means, Matt. By all means, Duro, you go ahead.
No, no, no. I just want you to know that I'm living La Vida Loca. I'm loving La Vida Loca.
Will you sign an album?
I will.
Will you come out?
I have.
Yes.
Now you guys know that his name has now changed to Duro, correct?
Oh gosh, here we go. Decapitated Dan has given me the nickname of Duro, which means Spanish for hard, because I'm a tough guy.
Oh, is that what it is? I thought it was because.
Oh, is that what it is?
Said,
he gave you the name.
You always said dude and bro.
Oh, that's okay. That's funny.
What about two
grand rap? There we go. And my two on live crew.
Oh, Christ. All right, we're closing in on a half hour. I think it's time to wrap her up, and you guys can get back to your fans.
Everybody buy Rotten the Trade. It's awesome. I love this book. Everybody go to Horrible. Everybody go to DanCon 2011. Sunday. February 20th at Orland Park Civic Center. I love you all. Goodbye.
Talk to you later, bitch.
Yeah. Thank you, Jeff.
Hey, you know, thank you guys. Thank John. Thank Dan. Thank Raph. Thank you all for being a part of this. And next time, live in person, we're going to do this.
Woo!
Yeah.
All right.
All right, guys. Have a good signing. I'll talk to you later.
Bye. Bye.